Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Fleeing Keys, episode 200, the big episode 200. Sorry for the TV in the background, that was my bad, can't find the remote. But yeah, we have me and Keys, Lee Keys and Evan Real Talk, my bad. Even butchering the title now. So Lee Keys and Evan Real Talk, episode 200, big episode 200. If you listen to our show in the past, you know that we always like to do a big for these episodes, you know, the episode 50s, the episode 100s, the episode 150s, now the episode 200s. So, you know, around this time last year, we didn't think that we would still be in this format, on this platform, you know, at this point in time. But, you know, some things have changed, and, you know, the way we kind of operate has changed as well. And, you know, there's definitely been some unforeseen things that came up, and but, you know, it is what it is. So, you know, we'll, you know, maybe, you know, later on this year, you know, there'll be even some bigger changes that'll happen. But for now, you know, I'm happy here. I think all of us are happy here, and we're good. So, you know, we're going to get into it when the other guys, when Evan and Lee jump in here, we're going to get to it. You know, this past weekend, though, you know, I just want to recap that because this past weekend was pretty crazy. You know, you had
I'm here.
You had Dominic Reyes in there. Dominic Reyes. He fought Yuri Prozaka. I'm not sure if I say his name right, but you got Yuri in there. He KO'd Dominic Reyes, I want to say, in the second round. So that was pretty crazy to see that. That was actually – I want to say that was the only fight I even watched on that card, so I really couldn't tell you much more about that card beyond that. But, yeah, what's up with you guys, though?
Yo, what up, man?
I was just giving a little intro to the people, you know, talking about, you know, some of the way we've been operating and, you know, kind of this time last year, I think, we were saying we probably wouldn't be in the same structure, you know, same format on the same platform, but, you know, things have changed and we made changes and, you know, we'll see what happens going forward, but I think we're all happy where we're at, so we'll just keep on rocking.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all good things come to an end, but, you know, right now, you know, we're just doing our thing here on Blog Talk, you know, but stay tuned. But, yeah, man, episode 200. Wow. Wow. Like I say, always remember the first one. Because it was so bad. But, hey, man, look, man, we here, bro. Episode 200, man. Hey, and we got a new co-host. So, you know, it's good, bro. What's up,
yeah,
Evan?
Yeah, and Evan, where you at, bro?
How you doing? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm here. Mike was messing up. How you guys doing?
Evan, we've been hearing you since for probably a year now. We've been hearing you for a while, man. You're good, I'm telling you. Your mic is good, man. You don't trust your mic, but I trust it, bro.
Trust that. I can't trust Bluetooth.
Evan's always like, yo, can you hear me? You got to, bro. I hear you, Evan.
He starts every show like that. He starts every show like that, man. Every show. Every show.
He kills me.
You're consistent, man.
Yo, that's going to be his motto, man. Can y'all hear me?
Can you hear me?
It's like that stupid Verizon guy from the commercials. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, man. I was just about to, I thought it was off top. I thought it was Boost Mobile. I was like, oh, Evan was going to be on those old school Boost Mobile commercials. But could be saying, can you hear me? But yeah, I was just talking about how, you know, we're just talking about the event. You know, obviously, we're talking about our show and the structure and all that, but, you know, we're here and enjoying ourselves. So, you know, what I was talking about, though, to preview, kind of giving a recap, you know, to the people. If, you know, most of the people probably watched more of the fights this past weekend than I did, because to be frank with you guys, I couldn't give a damn about that fight card that we just saw. The only reason that I even saw the main event was because I really didn't even really care about that fight. But the reason is because I was already home anyways, and you know I was playing some Xbox One. I think I was actually playing UFC career mode, which was actually more exciting playing my career mode than actually watching the actual fight. So I feel like I was putting on better performances in UFC 3 that night than the actual fights that took place. But, yeah, so Dominic Reyes got, you know, he lost by, I think, KO, TKO, however they go, however that goes. Yeah, he you know, he lost. He got caught with a, I think it was a spinning elbow. Jiří threw a spinning elbow. And I wanted to say one thing about this Jiří. You know, when I watched his fight versus Volkan, the thing that I looked, that I saw with him is he kind of reminded me, like, if you go back to that, I'm not saying that they have the same fighting style, but it just reminded me of this. Like, he's one of those guys that, like, he just, it's not that he doesn't get hit. He gets hit many times. He'll just get hit, you know what I mean? Like, his defense is not that great, but he just takes, like, his chin, he can take a lot of shots. He can take a lot of punishment, and he just keeps coming forward. And his mobility is enough to where you're going to miss a lot of shots, too, but you're going to land a lot of shots, too, and he's just going to keep coming forward like a zombie. You know, it's kind of like Nate Diaz or, like, you know, you reminded me of Yoel Romero when he fought Costa. Every time Costa was hitting Romero with a shot, you just saw Romero, he would just come forward. He would eat the shot, keep coming forward, you know, and making faces. You know, Romero was just like, you know, sticking his tongue out at Costa every time Costa would land a shot. It was kind of cringe. It was weird. It made me uncomfortable, you know, when that happened. But that was kind of what when I watched Jiří, that's what he reminded me of. You watch him versus Volkan, even a little bit versus Reyes. Not as much, but you can still see it. His chin is just wide open in the fight. You know, I don't see, like, great defense from him. And, yeah, I mean, I don't want to take it away from him. He looked great, but I don't think he's that good the way that people are kind of making him seem. What do y'all think?
Do you mind if I go, Key? Thank you. No, this is actually a big one for me because I was saying the same thing when he fought Uzdemir. When I watched him fight Uzdemir a while back, I said the same thing. Like, he's just – I hadn't seen him fight before. Like, I know he was a Ryzen champion, I believe. I hadn't seen him before his UFC debut. And he just kept his hands low, and he was getting tagged, and I was like, this dude's just wild. And then he murks Uzdemir with that 1-2, puts him to sleep. And everyone was like, all right. But then you watch him in this past fight against Reyes, who is a little bit more accurate, has a little bit more tools than Uzdemir, and it's just the hands down, you know, jaunting his face forward, putting his chin up in the air. It's just it's a risky style, but it works for him clearly. You know, his performance against Uzdemir, his performance against Reyes, he absolutely kind of put a whooping on Reyes. It was actually pretty bad, and it's crazy to see. You know, you think of, like, how Jones fought Reyes and then how, you know, Jiří just actually puts him to bed and he put him out with that incredible spinning elbow that won me big money. So, you know, I'm happy. But I'm interested to see what's next for him. Keys, I think you sent it in the group chat that Alexander Rakic would like to fight him. And I think that makes perfect sense as to what I told you that Jan versus Glover is not happening until September. So, Lee, what do you think?
I'm going to go back to Friday real quick. Ian Kotoba, what he did to Dustin Jacoby at the weigh-ins, I swear, man, the UFC got to rein these guys in like him during the weigh-ins, man, because what he did was so unprofessional, so unnecessary, and it was just like, coming off of what happened with Stevens and Close, it was like, come on, bro. It's a fight. We understand you got to sell the fight. But to put his hands on Dustin like that, I just didn't like that. I think he should have been fired. But, you know, the UFC kind of rewards bad behavior. So you get what you put out there. But I have always liked Jiří. I just think he's one of them guys that this style of fight will come back and haunt him down the road as he gets older, because you can't take and take and take and take and absorb and absorb and absorb punishment. But it seems to work for him. But I, once again, it goes back to something we said in our group chat. Rance was overrated, man. I thought he always been overrated. I never thought he was that good at light heavyweight. I thought that, you know, the UFC gave him some fights he was supposed to win, because he came in, he fought Uzdemir, and then he fought Chris Weidman at light heavyweight, and we know Chris Weidman is in the light heavyweight. And then, look, he lost to John Jones, he lost to Bukovic, and now he lost to Prochaska. And he been knocked out his last two fights. I mean, knocked out, knocked out. So all this hype about Reyes to me was unwarranted, overrated. And I like Jiří, man. I like Jiří versus Rockets next. Hopefully they can get them on the same card as Blachowicz and Glover. And then, you know, we can go from there. But Jiří is just one of them guys, man. He's just going to keep coming forward. Until you back him up. If he don't respect your power, he's going to keep coming forward. So maybe Rockets might be the guy that can do something, but there's nothing in Rockets' game that tells me that he can back Jiří up, man.
Yeah, and the thing that I want to say, too, is that, you know, to that point, I think that what's his face there that you would talk about that grabbed the guy's neck at the weigh-ins? I don't remember his name, but
Ian Catawba.
What?
Ian Catawba.
Okay, yeah. So,
that's his name.
Because I couldn't remember his name, and now I figured out why he always looks so familiar to me. He looks like, if you guys ever watched the Wolverine movies.
He looks like
Hugh
Jackman.
Sabretooth.
Yeah.
He looks like Sabretooth. If you look up
Sabretooth, okay,
you look up
I
Sabretooth.
You.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. I got you. In the first movie.
Yeah. He looks like, yeah, exactly. Right. So if you look up the picture of Wolverine Sabretooth, that, I'm telling you, that guy could play Sabretooth in one of the Wolverine's movies, because he looks just like the actor, and he just looks like he would be in it. He could probably even play as Wolverine, you know, with the way that his facial hair is and everything. Just the way he looks like an animal. He looks like he's about to turn into a wolf at any point. Like, I think that's why he always looks so angry. He's getting so physical at the face off. I think he wants to turn into a wolf. You know, I think if they have a UFC event on a full moon, like, we might actually see a transformation. You know what I'm saying? And we'll find out why he's always been so aggressive. You know, even when he fought the Dagestani that he fought. I think it was a Dagestani that he fought. I forget his name. But the guy Magomed beat him, and then they had a rematch. Magalayev, is he from Dagestan, right?
Yeah, I think he's just he's another Russian.
Yeah, he's in there somewhere. So I just figured he was Dagestani, because most of them. But,
yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, but even then, like, he was so aggressive, and then that's kind of how they had that feud, because he knew he was gonna transform into a wolf at any point. So he was trying to contain himself, but it was difficult. So I think that's the thing with Ion Cuda Balaba, however you just said that, Lee. I'm not sure, but yeah, but that's the thing with him. So he needs to. He needs to get him on some Ritalin or something like that. Because that guy got to calm down, man. He's too much. He's too much. Like he looks like he got to get some frustrations out. Something's not right with him. So, and I think he should have been fine though. On a realistic level, I think he should have been fine, because there was no need for all that. And then he went in there Didn't he end up losing the fight?
It was a draw.
Oh, it was a draw. Oh, man. But I felt like he lost the fight, though.
I think he lost.
Wasn't he getting taken down?
So I don't know.
Wasn't he getting taken down?
He was taking the guy down early in the fight. Like, he probably won, like, the first round. But I think, like, he gassed out towards the second, and then the third was just, I guess, like, it just, there wasn't enough damage between the rounds for either to really, like, take it. So I guess, you know, we just had some 10, you know, some 9-9s possibly, or 10-8s, or I'm not sure. But either way, it don't matter to me. You know, I'm glad it was a draw.
Sabretooth.
And not a win. Yeah, I'm glad it was a draw and not a win for Sabretooth, because I don't really care for him. I think he's one of those guys at 205 that needs to I don't know how much he cuts to make 205, but his chin can't handle 205. And I just don't – and his gas tank, too. But then again, if he cuts weight, it's going to make it even worse. So it's like, I don't know what he's supposed to benefit from. He's just not – he's not working. But if I may say one thing while we're still on the Yuri topic, one thing that I brought up in the group chat that we all talked about is that Yuri has never gone five rounds. He's actually never gone four rounds. He never went three rounds.
He's
only gone three rounds one time in his career.
Did he win?
He's 20. Yeah, hold on. Actually, if you give me like 2 seconds, I can find out. He's 28-3.
He probably did win.
He went three rounds and it was a draw. And then he won the belt in Ryzen in a three-round fight. Okay, so he's gone three rounds actually three times. Actually, I'm wrong. But that my point is that he's never gone five rounds. He's never gone four rounds. So like, you know, can he handle that style for like, you know, those championship rounds is a big question, because he's putting out a lot of energy and a lot of activity in those strikes that he offers.
Yeah. That's
a good point.
I wasn't trying to go ahead.
No, I was just saying that's a good point, because you know, normally when you get put in the main event, hey, main events are five rounds. So we haven't seen him in the championship rounds. So depending on who you in there with, you know, that rounds four and five can make turn men in the mic. So that's a good point, Evan.
Thank you.
So yeah, I mean, that's the thing with him, that, you know, to close off with that, you know, I think it was, he had a great performance, and I feel like he dominated Dominic Reyes. That was a tongue twister. He dominated Dominic Reyes pretty much that entire fight, like from the opening bell. I feel like he was just in control of the fight the whole time, and he was in control of the pace. So great performance from Yuri, you know. I was just saying that I'm not sure how he'll look against, you know, some of these other guys who have fought, you know, longer fights and have gone, you know, 25 minutes multiple times. But you know, that's neither here nor there. Great performance, you know. What I did want to get into tonight, and I think, you know, we had all talked about this earlier, is you guys want to get into our champions for 2021 and who we think will be the champion of each UFC division by the end of this year.
And I'll
cut it to you like this. Let's start with, you want to start at the bottom and work to the top, or you want to start with heavyweight and work to, you know, the lowest weight?
Are we doing the ladies also?
It's up to you guys. You want to just do the men's division?
Let's do the men's division, because it's going to take longer, and then if we feel like it, we can do the women's.
Yeah, because there's like 10 divisions, so that's what's up. And the thing is, one thing we know about it, too, is that they change – the titles must change hands a lot, because, you know, sometimes I feel like they don't, but they definitely do, because I was playing UFC 3, and I was looking at who they had as the champions in each division in the game. And would you know it, only, I want to say, two, maybe three out of, like, every champion in the game is still a champion. Like, everybody who had the belt in that game no longer holds that belt. So when that game came out, which was like 2018, but point being, there's just not that many like long reigning champions, you know, besides Stipe Miocic. But you know, I won't go on a Stipe rant right now. We'll save that for another time. But yeah, let's start with the flyweight division. You guys think Figueiredo? You think Figueiredo is gonna make it to the end of 2021?
All right, I'll go first. Let me look at the. They don't even have the flyweight division on the UFC homepage. All right, that's okay. I'm ready. So we got Brandon Moreno, Davidson Figueiredo, Askarov, and Alex Perez and Alexander Pantoja.
And just the point, Alex Perez is actually fighting on the prelims on the card this weekend. Oh no, not this weekend. The
May 15th.
My fault. The UFC 262 card. He's fighting on the prelims.
I think it's gonna come down to two guys. I think it's come down to Davidson Figueiredo and Brandon Moreno. I like Moreno, but I'm gonna say Davidson Figueiredo is gonna be the flyweight champion at the end of the year. Man, it's so hard to pick against Moreno, though. I think Figueiredo finds a way to beat Moreno in the rematch, and then he goes on to fight Askarov and maybe Perez. So I'm going to go with Figueiredo and be the champ at the end of the year, man. I'm not too confident in it, but I think it's going to be between him and Moreno. Who you got, Evan?
Sadly, I am the same. I would love to see Brandon Moreno win, and I thought the fight was close, but after finding out that, you know, Figueiredo had, you know, a lot of medical issues leading up to that fight and was still able to go five rounds, I can't imagine him, you know, not being able to finish Moreno, you know, on a healthy five rounds. So I hope Moreno shocks me, but I think by the end of this year, Davison will still be champion. It's just he's the power he possesses at 125, his grappling, and his durability. He has everything you want as a champion for such a small division. So I'll take him.
So,
all right, Keith.
I almost wanted to really bust you guys' balls and say Garbrandt will be the flyweight champion at the end of 2021. I almost wanted to say it, but I'm not gonna go there. Evan wouldn't be able to handle it. I don't actually think so.
Possible,
though. Garbrandt's not. I can hardly even see Garbrandt winning a fight. Never mind winning the title. So my thing is that. So he had injuries because he literally defended his belt, I'm pretty sure, and then defended it again like a couple weeks later. So it was like he did go into the Moreno fight on short notice. I forget who he fought a couple weeks. Oh, he fought I think he fought out.
Yeah,
Chris,
he beat him like in the first round, though.
What?
Did he beat him in the first round? Yeah, he submitted him in the first round.
Submitted who?
Alex Perez.
Yeah. He fought. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I'm just pointing out why he might have had, you know, he might have had issues because he went from one weight cut to the next weight cut.
Yeah.
He didn't even give himself any time to rest in between, you know, the training camps or anything. So I'm not surprised that, you know, even if he didn't have injuries, that he might have got sick or, you know, there might have been issues weight cutting again or staying at that weight might have, you know, had, you know, might have had a, like, caused a conflict, you know, with his body in some way. So that's my thing with that. But, I got Moreno beating Figueiredo in the rematch. I think Moreno, you know, clearly showed you know, if it wasn't for the judges, I feel like the judges really saved Figueiredo in the last fight, just like they saved Jones when he fought Dominic Reyes. If it wasn't for, like, the judges preferring the champion, a lot of these guys would lose their belts. But it's just this weird obsession that the judges have with guys being the champion. And it's like, oh, you didn't do enough to win the belt. And it's like, bro, like, but the champion, to me, didn't do enough to keep the belt. So I think we could go both ways with that. So that's how I feel that first fight went. I think Moreno won it clearly. I think I had it 4-1 from Moreno. I think I gave Figueiredo just the first round. Then second round was close, but I edged Moreno, and then 3-4-5 clear from Moreno. So I think he'll beat him, you know, with the full camp this time. I think Moreno beats him, and then probably, I don't know if they'll do a trilogy fight or what will happen, but I think he'll defend the belt once more, and then he'll be the champion at the end of the year. Next one we'll go from that will be the bantamweight title. So this one's actually funny to even talk about because you had Aljamain Sterling who won the belt on a DQ, and now he's out for like almost the entire rest of the year. So he's the champion, but I don't know what's going to happen with that. You know, I think they should strip him of the belt and just have Jan and that guy you guys like, Sanhagen, Jan and Sanhagen fight for the vacant belt. You know, that's what I think should happen. But go ahead, Lee, you can go first. Who do you think will be the bantamweight champion at the end of 2021?
TJ Dillashaw will be the champion in the bantamweight division at the end of the year. I might not like it, but it's going to happen. I think TJ pulls off a narrow win over Corey Sanhagen, and then he fights Alexander Volkanovski for the interim belt, and he beats Peter Yan. He beats Peter Yan for the interim belt going into the end of the year. I think TJ does it, man. I think he's going to come back maybe better than he was before, but I'm a fan of TJ. I know he, did the steroids and all that, but I just think, I think he comes back on a vengeance, and TJ will be the interim champion at the end of the year. Who you got, Evan?
Excuse me. I got I'm thinking Corey Sanhagen. That's my dude. I've been a fan of his since he debuted for a while back. I just love the style, the footwork, you know, his ability to mix up his attack. He doesn't just, you know, go for one, you know, for the power shots. It's more of like kind of like a Dominic Cruz style. Not necessarily point fighting, but it's a great style, and I think he's got the tools, and as you've seen, you know, he went into the fight with Aljamain as just kind of a, you know, I'll take this fight, see what happens, but then after that loss, he comes back, and he finishes two guys in incredible fashion. So I think his mindset's there, his skill set's already there, and I think he's going to destroy everyone at 135, and will be the champ by the end of the year. But I'm hoping that we even see Aljo by the end of the year. Who knows how long it's going to take for him to come back. So
I doubt it.
Yeah, so, I mean, Aljo, so I'll go ahead with my prediction. So I got Dillashaw as the champion by the end of the year as well. But I don't think there's going to be an interim belt different than Lee's prediction. I feel like it's just going to go straight to a vacancy. They're going to take the belt off Sterling, you know, especially once we see the winner of the Sanhagen and Dillashaw fight. Once they see the winner there, I think the UFC and Dana White will be more enticed to push that division along once that fight gets over with, and we kind of have, like, you know, somebody right there for Piotr Jan to fight for the vacant belt. You know, I don't think they would want to do an interim belt, honestly. I don't think that would be I don't see Dana White wanting to do that for this division, at least not right now. Especially with Dillashaw coming back, I feel like if he wants to put a belt on him, he'd want to put the actual belt on him. And, yeah, that's just how I see it. You know, I think Dillashaw, he beats Corey Sandhagen. I'm not sure how, you know, when it gets closer, I'll think that more through. But then he goes on and beats Jan pretty handily, too. I think Dillashaw will beat Jan probably easier than I think Sandhagen will be the harder fight. When he gets to that one, I think the Jan fight, I think he'll beat him easier.
Okay.
And on to the featherweight division. We'll have Evan start out with this one. Evan, who do you think is going to be the champ of the featherweight division at 2021?
If all goes well, this is going to shock some people, but there's a fighter. He's fighting on the May 15th card. His name's Shane Burgos, and I think he's fighting Edson Barboza. He trained out of Tiger Showman's, and that's where I, you know, I kickbox there, but obviously he's a pro fighter. I'm just a kid. But I had a chance to meet him, and I missed my opportunity. But I've been watching him since his debut, and I've watched him get only better and better. And he is a future champion. And I think if he can, you know, get a big win against Barboza and just be able to, you know, climb the ranks, I would love to see him as champ by the end of the year. But with that being said, with them, Volkanovski and Ortega doing the show, I think for this year, I think it's going to be Volkanovski. I think he's going to end the year as champion because I don't know how long, like when they're going to fight, because I don't know when the show even airs and then when they're going to fight after the show is finished. So I'm going to go Volkanovski just based off that.
All right.
Lee.
All right, I need you guys to follow me on this one. All right, that's how I was going to play out. You heard it here first. Hot take. Brian Ortega is going to beat Alexander Volkanovski. Brian Ortega would then call out Max Holloway at the end of the fight. He's going to say that Max put on him one of the worst beatings in UFC history, and he wants to run it back with him being the champ. And Max Holloway beats Brian Ortega in the last quarter of 2021 and will again be the featherweight champion. I don't get what I want. I wanted to get Max Holloway versus Tony Ferguson, you know, sometime this year, but I don't see that happening. So Max Holloway beats Brian Ortega sometime in the fourth quarter and regains the featherweight championship.
Yeah. Damn. It depends for me because, you know, you have bald Ortega. You know, if he comes in bald, if he shaves his head for the fight, you know, I think he'll beat Alex. But if he's going to – I see him in these pictures with his hair growing out, man. I don't know. If he's going to come in with a full head of hair, I think he's toast, man. I think Alex is going to put him away, bro, and probably the fourth round. Alex is going to TKO him. But, yeah, I think it's – I'm going to go that way with it. I think, actually, Alex is going to beat Ortega because Ortega is going to come in with too much hair on his head. And Alex is going to TKO him in the fourth round. And then you're going to have – you know, they probably won't want to move. They probably won't want to do it, but I think we all know the roads lead to Volkanovski versus Holloway 3, which has to happen. You know, what other fight is there in the division, honestly? I mean, Zombie he's kind of out of the picture, so you can't even really fight Zombie. And there's really not too many other guys. I mean, there's the guy that just beat Cub Swanson. I think that was featherweight, but he needs a couple more fights. He's not in the mix yet. The Chikadze guy, that was a really impressive finish he had, too, just a side note. Shout out to him, but he needs a couple more fights, so that'll be down the line. But I think you go Volkanovski versus Holloway 3, and that'll probably happen, you know, depending on how late they go with the Ortega fight. We'll probably get that maybe Madison Square Garden in November or that end-of-the-year card, and Holloway beats Alex to win the featherweight belt back, and Holloway's the champ for the end of 21. Next one, one of the most fun ones that we could even talk about, is the 155 division. Lee, you want to go first?
Wow, man, this is a tough one, dog. This is a tough one.
It is a tough one.
I think the winner of Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier will be the lightweight champion at the end of the year, with Justin Gaethje possibly having a chance. Man, this is tough. I think Michael Chandler is going to beat Charles Oliveira, and then that sets up at least Justin kind of out in the cold. But I think the winner of Conor and Dustin gets the winner of Oliveira versus Chandler. I'm going to say Dustin wins that fight. Then we get Dustin versus Michael Chandler. I think Dustin Poirier beats Michael Chandler, and Dustin Poirier will be the lightweight champion at the end of the year. Who you got, Evan?
Evan?
Go ahead, Evan. Keith.
Hello.
All right. I'll go first, Evan. You good. So for the 155, here's how I see it happening. So I think this time around, maybe I'll change my prediction when it gets closer. But for right now, I take McGregor to beat Poirier. I think McGregor beats the brakes off Poirier this time. And Chandler beats Oliveira. You know, he's going to be too ferocious. He's going to knock him out. And then you're going to have Chandler call out McGregor, and they'll probably fight at Madison Square Garden. And Chandler is going to be trying to press McGregor way too much, and he's going to get clocked, and McGregor is going to be the champion at the end of 2021.
All right, Evan, who you got, buddy?
Okay, I'm ready. Chandler is knocking everyone out. Everyone sucks. Michael Chandler is the best. He is going to finish every single person at lightweight. It's the Michael Chandler era. Thank you.
Chandler is a guy that doesn't fight well after the first round. I just want to throw that out there.
All right, so going forward, we don't have that much time. So the 170 division, I'm going to go first. So the 170 division, okay, so you're going to have Usman wants to fight Chiesa. I definitely think Usman beats Chiesa, not a doubt in my mind. So you have that fight. Usman will be the champion. Then you'll have Usman and Covington probably. I would think that they're going to push for that. So that'll probably happen. I don't know when, but that'll probably be Usman's last fight of not ever, but of the year. I would think he'll close the year with the Covington rematch. And I have Usman beating Covington again. So even though I wouldn't mind seeing Covington win, I would go with Usman for that one. And I think Usman's still the champion end of 2021.
It's hard to argue against Usman, but I would love to see Edwards get a shot this year. But I'm gonna keep it sweet. I think Usman is just getting better. I don't see anybody really in this division that could beat him outside of maybe Leon Edwards. But I'm gonna go with Usman. Who you got, Evan?
Thank you, Lee, because you brought up that point for me. If Leon does get a shot, I will take Leon. If Leon does not get a shot at the title, then it's going to be Usman. I think Leon is the best option because people keep thinking that Wonder Boy, you know, if he gets past Burns, he has a shot at the belt, and they think that might be Usman's toughest test. But I can't disagree more because I just don't think Wonder Boy has the power to really do anything. And if Usman really wants to, he can just take Wonder Boy down at will and just drag out a 5-round decision. Like, I love Wonder Boy and I love his style. I just don't think his style is going to do anything to Usman. So yeah, Usman most likely will be champion unless Leon gets a shot, then it's a 50-50.
Okay. All right. So the 185 division. Here we go. So the 185 division, I'll go first for this one as well. So the 185, You're going to have Israel Adesanya is going to fight Vettori. You know, man, that one's a tough fight, man. Evan, we might have to put 100 on that fight, man. Israel and Vettori, because I'm interested about that one, because the first one was super close. I almost kind of feel like it doesn't really matter, but because either way, the winner of that one is gonna lose, is gonna go on to fight Robert Whittaker and get demolished. So Robert Whittaker will be the champion end of 185, and you know he'll be top pound for pound fighter in the world.
Man, I want to go with Whittaker so bad. But I think Izzy might just have his number, man. Izzy might just be the guy that when Robert Whittaker steps in the cage with him, he just can't beat him. But I like what I've seen from Robert Whittaker, and I think it's hard to bet against him. I think the only way Whittaker isn't the champion at the end of 2021 is maybe due to injury or, you know, something preventing him to fight for the rest of the year. But I'm going Robert Whittaker, man. Should be the middleweight champion at the end of 2021. Who you got, Evan?
It really is hard to bet against Izzy. Like, I know, you know, people are not too high on him at the moment just because of the loss to Jan. But when you really think about that, that loss was to a bigger guy, and because he got wrestled, you know, he's still, you know, an incredible striker, and he still has a great reach over a lot of the talent at 185. So it's hard to bet against him, and I do think he's going to beat Vettori. I don't know if he might finish him this time. I think he's gotten better. I think he'll finish Vettori this time, but maybe not because Vettori's a tough dude. I'm gonna say Izzy's going to be the champion by the end of the year. I think so.
Okay.
All right. Now moving into our 205 division. So the 205 division, Lee, you might as well take this one first. I got the last couple.
All right. So we got Jan taking on Glover. Glover has looked really good in his last couple fights, but I like Jan to win this fight against Glover, and I like Jiří Procházka to beat Alexander Rakic, and I think Jiří Procházka beats Jan Błachowicz, and Jiří will be the UFC light heavyweight champion at the end of the year. Jiří Procházka.
Man, really? Really?
Procházka is going to beat Jan Błachowicz for the light heavyweight championship.
You know what's funny about that? You know what's funny about that, bro?
Go ahead.
Me and you have picked against Jan Błachowicz, I want to say, his last four fights consecutively, and he has won all of them in dominant fashion. I thought it was about time to stop picking against Błachowicz. Huh?
Man, you both picked in the beat Raiders.
Yeah, we picked them for that fight, but I'm saying, like, you know, the Rockhold fight, he was counted out. The, you know, people said
Damn.
He would lose to Jones. People said he would lose, you know, whatever fight was before that one. You know, there
Damn.
Was a lot of fights.
If he's the underdog, it would scare me. If he's the underdog, it would scare me because every time he's been the underdog, he has won.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is that I know we picked against him most of the times that he's ended up winning. And I even picked against him versus Adesanya, and I was wrong. I don't remember what you picked.
I didn't.
All right. Anyways, Evan, you're 205.
I think there's a great possibility that I think Jan could stay champion for the whole year. I think he beats Glover because I don't think he's going to make the mistake of, you know, hurting Glover and then getting over you know, getting over like overzealous and failing to actually finish him like most of these guys are doing. I think he'll finish Glover, and then chances are he's either going to fight Rakic, Alexander Rakic, or Jiří, and I don't know. That's a tough one. I'd have to think about that. But for now, the way the title picture, because he's not, you know, he's fighting in September, you know, and there's not many months left, so I don't know if he'll fight again in the year. So I'm gonna take Jan as the champion by the end of the year.
Okay.
Okay, word. And I'm actually going with the same pick. I think, you know, it's time that I stop picking against Vukovic. You know, every time I pick against him, he wins. And, you know, he's gotten a lot better. He's a lot more composed. I don't see him fighting emotional and going against his game plan like I've seen him do in the past. He sticks to his game plan and his fights. You know, when he fought Reyes, he fought composed, and it looked like he had a game plan and he kept on track. He didn't get, you know, overconfident when he was winning the striking exchanges, you know. And the same thing with the Adesanya fight, you know. He kept on his takedowns, he kept mixing in his striking, and, you know, he does have a lot of power. The Polish power is strong, and I think that, you know, Vukovic will beat Glover, and then you'll have, you know, Jiří will fight Rakic, and then he'll beat Rakic, and then you'll have that fight, and then Polish power will beat Jiří, because and the reason why I have that is because I just can't get behind the idea of a guy like Jiří who fights with his chin like wide open like that and like bouncing around and just taking shots. I can't get behind the idea of a guy like that beating someone like Vukovic, who has such power and is so like good and is so skilled in his boxing. I just can't see. I feel like that's a bad matchup for Jiří, you know, and he may not even realize that, but I think that's a bad matchup for him. I think Vukovic probably knocked him out in the first two rounds.
All right.
And on to the heavyweight division. This is a good one. You know, I almost wanted to start with the heavyweight division, but I'm glad we waited till the end, because this is an exciting one. Who wants to go first for this one?
Go ahead, Evan.
Ooh. I got this. Okay. So if all goes well, I think I personally don't think we're going to see Francis versus Jones this year. I really don't. I think we're going to see Francis versus Derek Lewis, the rematch. That's going to be the first fight for Francis. That one's tough because, you know, I know the first fight was boring, and that's the thing. It can't get worse than what it was. So they're going to have to actually punch each other. And I'm curious to see Francis actually handle true power. Like Stipe, he's got power, but not like Lewis and Francis. It's different. So I'm interested in that. If he beats Lewis, I think he'll beat Stipe in the trilogy, even though Stipe thinks packing on some weight is going to make a big difference. I don't think so. If all goes well, I think Francis will end the year as champion, but I would laugh if Lewis was able to come away with the win and be champion. I just think that'd be crazy. Great story.
Man.
So who do you have at the end, Evan?
He got Francis.
Francis. Yeah, Francis.
I couldn't really tell who your pick was. Lee, you want to go next? You want me to go next?
I can go. I want to say Jones, but I'm going to throw you guys a monkey wrench. I think it's going to be Derek Lewis. I think Derek Lewis beats Francis Ngannou. And I think the fight we get this year will be Stipe Miocic versus John Jones. I think that, to me, that's the fight I would rather see. You have the greatest heavyweight going against the greatest light heavyweight. I think we get that fight this year. And I think Derek Lewis probably fights somebody like Cyril Gane or something after he beat Francis Ngannou. And I think Derek Lewis ends the year as the heavyweight champion. But we get the best fight in the heavyweight division when Stipe Miocic fights John Jones.
Yeah, so that's – it's interesting that you said that. you know, because you said I'm going to throw you guys a monkey wrench, and not knowing that I was pitching the same thing. you know, I was pitching the same monkey wrench. You just caught the one I already threw it back. So, yeah, I have Derek Lewis beating Francis Ngannou too. I think that this time, you know, one thing about this is that it's Francis's, you know, even though he has, like, the transitions now and he's got the wrestling, like, he's definitely scary. But, like Evan said, I don't think Francis has fought somebody yet that can almost match his power. And I think when he gets hit, like, even when you look at, like, you know, the last, like, few exchanges in the Stipe rematch, Stipe actually, if you look at the footage, Stipe actually caught. The reason why Stipe got KO'd is because he actually caught Francis with a shot, and Francis was rocked. So then Stipe was like, he went against his game plan. He was like, I got excited because I knew he was hurt, and I tried to rush in. And then when I rushed in, he caught me with the right hook, and that's the right hook that KO'd Stipe. So that's why that moment kind of changed pace. But, you know, Stipe was able to do that. I mean, Derek Lewis, like, you know, he has wrestling now. The thing is, Derek Lewis, when you take him down, unless you're actually going to take him down, like, and even if you do take him down, he's big, like, he's strong enough to where he's going to get right back up when he wants to. Like, I don't see Francis holding Derek Lewis down. And I also don't see Francis holding Derek Lewis against the cage the way he did to Stipe, because he was like 40 pounds heavier than Stipe, you know, 30, 40 pounds heavier. You know, when he fights Lewis, I feel like they're going to come in at the exact same weight. They're both going to come in at 265 sharp, you know, and they're going to be very, very similar in size and height, you know, in these dudes, and similar in power. And I think when Francis gets hit by a guy like that, you know, the closest he had to it was fighting what's his name there that he starched him, like, Rosenstrike. Yeah, Rosenstrike had a lot of power, but Rosenstrike didn't even get to, I don't even think Rosenstrike was even able to get a hit up, was even able to land a shot, because he got KO'd so fast. I don't even think he was able to get going. So I think when Lewis hits Ngannou, I think he's going to respect his power, and I think Ngannou's going to go into more of a defense mode. You know, once he takes, like, the first big shot from Derek Lewis, I see Ngannou going into a defense mode and being like, like, you know, his brain's going to switch on and it's going to say, oh, damn, like, this guy can actually, you know, put some pain on me. This guy can probably put me down. You know, he's going to go into that fight or flight mode. He's going to be on defense. And, you know, it's going to be a good fight. I think the rematch is going to be good. Lewis is going to win the belt. And then, you know, I think they'll have Lewis fight probably – he'll probably fight the kickboxer there. I think you'll see Derek Lewis versus Ciryl Gane. I think you'll end up seeing that fight. Yeah, you'll have that. There was that other heavyweight that was doing good too, but he just lost. He was undefeated, but he lost. So that's kind of out. But yeah, I think you'll see Derek Lewis versus Ciryl Gane. And actually, I changed my pick. Ciryl Gane is going to be the heavyweight champion at the end of 2021. That's my pick. Because I think Lewis will beat Ngannou. I forgot about this. Then he's going to defend versus Ciryl Gane. Ciryl Gane just beat whoever that was he just beat. And then Ciryl Gane is just way better. You know, is so good of a striker. He's going to fight Lewis at distance. He's going to pick his shot. I think he beats him. I think Ciryl Gane will be the champion at the end of the year.
Wow. Okay. I like it. Wow. Okay.
So,
Ciryl Gane,
and,
huh?
Yeah, you know, and it's crazy because I ended up changing my pick mid prediction because he was in my mind, but I forgot that he actually had rose up the ranks because I forgot that I think he fought Volkov, right? Or he's gonna fight Volkov.
Hold on,
he's
gonna
fight Volkov.
Damn, Ciryl Gane. All right, I like it. He's an athlete, though. That's one thing. When I watched him fight, that guy is a real good athlete. Yeah, he just beat Rozenstruik, and his next fight is against Cyril Gane versus Alexander Volkov on June 26th.
Wow, so yeah, okay. So, I mean, and with that, you know, I think he beats Volkov. I don't think Volkov's good too, but he's just like, you know, I think Cyril Gane's fresh. You know, I think Cyril Gane's he's determined, he's composed, motivated, he's super athletic, probably the best build in the heavyweight division. You know, most athleticism in the heavyweight division. And you know, a lot of these guys, they're not built like that. They're not built to go at his pace. You know, and he's a kickboxer, and you really don't have much kickboxing in the heavyweight division. You know, most of these guys, if they are kickboxers, you know, they mostly use their hands. Like, you know, Derrick Lewis implements kicks. You know, he's been implementing more kicks, you know, in his last three, four, five fights. You see Derrick Lewis throwing kicks, but most of these heavyweights just use their hands. You know, you don't see them switching between body kicks and throwing jabs the way Cyril Gane does. You just don't see that. So I think that's just a new dynamic for the heavyweight division. He's going to push a new pace. He's going to be, you know, one of the only heavyweights that fights technical, you know, still with that level, you know, of technical. And yeah, I think he wins the belt. You know, I think that's like a nightmare matchup for a guy like Derrick Lewis.
All right, I like it.
So we got a few minutes left. I don't know. You know, I do know. What I want to go to is this. So first of all, I just want to say that, first of all, Lee Talia, that was your daughter that graduated college, right?
Yes, it was, man, my baby.
Congratulations, my man. Tell her we say congratulations. That's a huge feat right there. Great work.
Yeah, I told him when I picked her up from work, I was like, yeah, my coach said, congratulations and good luck. And I was like, your life about to start. So, you know, I'm very excited for her, just like I'm excited for my son who left for the Air Force in January, man. But it's just a great sense of pride, man, that you feel, you know, when Keys graduated. I was happy for Keys. You know, I was very excited for him when he graduated college. But you know, that's a monumental thing, man, because of all the work you put in. So, you know, man, I was just super excited for her today. And you know, just ready to see what life, you know, what she do from here.
Yeah, man, definitely. You know, it's you know, that's a huge milestone. You know what I mean? I remember how accomplished I felt when I finished college. So that's definitely a huge milestone, a huge achievement. So I just wanted to have that little shout out right there. And you know, what you guys wanna finish off with? I mean, we got like a minute and a half, 2 minutes left in our time right here. Anything you guys
want
to
do? Let's do this real quick. Yeah, let's do this real quick. Hey Evan, give us your top 5 pound for pound real quick.
Oh yeah.
All right. No, that's perfect. That's what I figured we were going to end it on. All right. Number one. Should I go number one or should I go five?
Go five to one. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, good. I've changed it up a few times, you know, just kind of going back and forth with it. But I think at number five, it makes sense for Dustin Poirier to be at number five. He's fought basically everyone at lightweight and at featherweight, but, you know, like literally every name. And win or lose, he's game, and I think he deserves that top five spot. number four, I think I put Stipe, and I think that's justified. Arguably the heavyweight GOAT, you know, most title defenses in UFC heavyweight history. He's got all the wins. He's got the records. He's got what he needs. I think that's a good spot. Number three, I believe I had Izzy, Israel Adesanya. Again, you know, 21-1 record, 20-21 record. You know, just has looked better and better every time. You know, he's beating all the guys, and he just looks great doing it. I like that style. Number two for me, I got to go with my man Volkanovski. I think he deserves that spot, and I think that's actually accurate to UFC's rankings as well. You know, a lot of people will say that, like, Max Holloway should be above him, but I think, you know, with Volkanovski having two wins over Holloway, a win over Aldo, Chad Mendez, I think those that means a lot, and obviously being the champion still, he just has that number two spot. And then to end the show, at number one, it's got to be Usman. Again, he only gets better. Ever since he won the belt, by decision against Woodley. He defended it against Colby in a five-round TKO. He then fought Masvidal on short notice, and it was a decision, but we won't even count that. Then he went on to fight Burns, finished him in the third round. Then he fought Masvidal, finished him in the second round. He's only getting better each time, and I think he just – and he's beating every guy they put up against him. You know, oh, here's Colby, beats him. Here's Masvidal, beats him twice. Here's your teammate and friend Burns, destroys him with a jab, and then puts him out on the ground and pound. That Stone Cold Killer, that it's incredible, and I think he deserves that number one pound-for-pound spot.
All right. So the way the UFC has their pound-for-pound on their website, they got Jones, Usman, Volkanovski, Izzy, and Ngannou. And ESPN, I want to say they have, let me see what ESPN, hold up real quick. Come on. I want to say they got Usman. I think they got Usman, Jones. Yeah, they got Usman, Jones, Adesanya, Ngannou, and Volkanovski. So there's a big difference between ESPN and UFC. But that's a good list. That's a good list there, buddy. I ain't mad at it.
Thank you.
I mean, we all know. I mean, the thing is this, too, right? We all know that, you know, we kind of got to take what ESPN's pound for pound with a grain of salt, because we all know that those guys over there are not experts in the sport. They don't really know too much. I mean, their most knowledgeable guy is probably Stephen A. Smith, and he doesn't know too much either. So, you know, you can't really ask them. But I mean, they're covering the sport, I guess, now. They're covering it a little bit, but, I mean, I don't really take their list with too much credibility.
Well, the voters for their pound for pound are Brett Okamoto, Mark Raimonde, Ariel Helwani, and Jeff Wagenheim, who I think used to work for the UFC. So they got some notable guys that actually vote on their pound-for-pound list.
So those guys vote on the ESPN one?
Yep.
Oh, those are the voters for it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It even breaks down how they voted. Like Okamoto had Usman number one, Raimonde had Usman number one, Ariel Helwani had Usman number one, and Jeff Wagenheim had John Jones number one. So, yeah, man, they got four guys that actually vote on it. So,
yeah,
but I just wanted to throw that out.
I was wrong on that one. I was wrong. I'll admit I was wrong on that one. I thought that, you know, ESPN guys who, you know, cover basketball, you know, voting on UFC pound for pound. I didn't know they had Okamoto and, you know, legit guys who cover the sport since way before the ESPN deal. I didn't know that. So I was wrong on that one. I admit that. But yeah.
That was actually fun to do, man. I like that.
Yeah. No, that was that was a really good idea. I think one of you guys proposed that. Whichever one of you proposed that. So that was a great idea. You know, great idea coming up with that. You know, maybe we could do more stuff like that this year. You know, maybe we'll do, maybe we can, you know, focus on one division and do something like that, or maybe even the next time do the women's divisions. You know, we could spend the second half of the show doing, you know, running through the women's division. You know, so we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, it's a great show. You know, like I always say, thank you to our listeners. Lee, congratulations to your daughter graduating college. And yeah, that's it. Everybody have, you know, a good weekend, rest of the week. You know, stay safe. You know, Lee would say COVID's still out there. It is still out there. I know he was thinking it, so I'll put it out there first. COVID is still out there.
Okay.
So don't loosen up too much. You know, as they're loosening up all the restrictions, don't loosen yourself up too much, because you know there's still a pandemic out there. So don't loosen up too much. You know, but yeah, everybody stay safe and healthy, and thank you for listening to our show. Appreciate y'all. You guys can take the floor.
Go ahead, Evan.
I just want to say thank you to everyone listening. We always appreciate it. Just want to say thank you to you guys for allowing me to be a part of the show. You know, obviously this is 200 episodes for you guys. I'm still very, you know, I'm not sure how many episodes I'm a part of, but nonetheless, this is a major milestone. This is great, and I can't wait for the next one. Yeah, just for the fans, there are fights this weekend. This Saturday, they're just kind of a little weak due to the fights, the main event falling off. But for our boxing fans that listen, Canelo Alvarez is fighting Billy Joe Saunders. If you want to watch Canelo smack someone in a boxing ring, by all means, check that out.
We got PFL this week. We got Bellator
right.
Friday night. We got Canelo Saturday. And we got the UFC Saturday. Actually, this UFC card don't look half bad, man. The main card looks good. And then on the prelims, you got Ben Rockwell, Phil Hawes. You got some nice little fights on this card. Way better than last weekend. So I might watch this one. So, you know, just to wrap up the show, man, thank you guys for the well wishes. For my daughter, you know, Daciana. But, you know, once again, it's always fun to do this show. 200 episodes in. I always kind of felt we would get up to 200, especially once we got past 50 and we started to just find our groove and started just sticking strictly to combat sports. You know, it's been such an accomplishment, man. Evan, welcome to the crew. Keys, my man, holding me down since day one. And, hey, 200 down, 200 more to go. So, that being said, everybody take care of yourselves. Still practice social distancing. You know, wear your mask. Vaccination, that's a personal choice. That's up to you. Everybody have a good weekend. Enjoy this nice weather we're having. And always in closing, I want to say positive people. Positive energy, yeah, positive results. And we always end the show with a big peace.